Stop settling for weak sound. It's time to level up your game and bring the boom. Hit the town with the ultra-durable LG X Boom Portable Speaker and enjoy vibrant sound wherever you go. Elevate your listening experience to new heights because, let's be real, your music deserves it. The future of sound is now with LG X Boom. And for a limited time, save 25% at LG.com with code FALL25. Bring the boom. X Boom.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 23rd day of September 2025. And this is indeed the voice of the Christian Resistance Movement. And tonight, Style won the toss of the coin again, so he gets to co-host with me tonight. And he's got one of those very rare quarters. It's got heads on both sides.
You can't say that. Kenny doesn't know.
Yeah, he may know. Alrighty, there you go. And so, say hey, Style.
Hey, Style.
You do that real well. Thanks. Alrighty. Very good, very good. We got a lot to get into tonight. And, you know, it was interesting. I come across Billy Graham preaching a message, and I was a little stunned. I thought, well, I'm going to listen to this because I had never heard Billy Graham being militant before. I mean, he was, there's some righteous indignation, some righteous anger, and I thought, I got to listen to this. I got to find out what's got him going. And he was talking about us seasoned citizens, the elderly folks, and about our place, the things we should and should never do. And he wasn't real happy with the way society looks upon us. So the title of my message is When God's Seasoned Saints Pray and Act. Hell trembles, because Billy had made some points about here, and we're talking about the saints of God, all the knowledge, the wisdom, and, you know, if you take a look at how the Ancient of Days refers to the older folks, he does it with respect. In fact, in the biblical days, if adult children disrespected their aged parents, well, it didn't end well for them, okay? And so we started tonight in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 with in verse 1, and we took a look at here. Solomon is encouraging young people to receive Christ, to get saved while you're young, to turn your hearts towards the Lord while you're young, and start placing up those crowns in glory when you've got a strong, healthy body. And we're going to pick it up today in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And so, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, when he says present yourselves there, he's referring to sanctification. In other words, present yourself to be what? Set aside for a special work of the Lord, huh? And so, here, and of course, in everything that we do is to go to God's glory, isn't it?
That's right.
This world's not really about us. Right? Wait till the prosperity preachers find out, right? But the world's not really about us, okay? And then he goes on to say, you know, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, what does that mean? Right now, today, we no longer prepare a sacrifice. We no longer cut up an animal, take it to a priest, and have a priest offer it. Today, what are our sacrifices that we are to offer up before the Lord?
Well, it's our works and our faith, right?
Well, you start out with praise, worship, okay, of course, tithes, but the one thing that that the church really lacks in, and that's service, our service. This is where he's talking about present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And so that it means the things that we do in ministry for the Lord's work in our bodies. And here, of course, can you tell me some of the things that that we can do a lot easier in our young, healthy bodies than we can when we get aged up out there a little bit?
Well, I mean, a lot of, like, missions works in terms of travel, in terms of going different places, or even labor, like Habitat for Humanity, things of that nature.
Well, that's true. We have a fellow right now that's getting ready to head out to either North Carolina or California to work with Samaritan's Purse. He's got a job going down there in one of the two places to work. But what about, you know, I spent 45 years on the streets in front of abortion mills in the 52 weeks a year in the rain and the snow. And I mean, a couple times a week we're out there. And we're out there for hours preaching. And sometimes it's hot sunlight. Saving babies, though, we're saving babies. Would you say that would be reasonable service?
I'd say so.
Yeah, I would say so. And, of course, doing missionary work, like you said, is very, very important. We support a number of missions. In fact, we're missionaries to the unborn. That's what we do out there. And then my brother, he runs an orphanage in Mexico, and they do, there's a lot of physical work. You wouldn't actually believe he actually built a lot of there where they have with the Mexicans using mules and carts hauling things up and down hills with mules and the old fashioned way. But now, because some of the places they had to go, that's the only thing you could go. You couldn't get in, couldn't even get in there with a truck. And so here he's referring to that. Now, this age that we're living in today is an evil age. Do you believe that we're living in an evil age today?
I think it's a pretty evil age.
Yeah. He goes on to say this in verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do you get your mind renewed? Where do you go to do that?
Well, you delve into faith to do that. You become saved and you devote your life to Christ.
Well, yeah, but right here in God's Word, the Bible, isn't that a good place to go to get your mind renewed?
I'd say that's the best place to go to get your mind renewed.
And so here, he goes on to say here, now, when we do that, what are some of the things that we want to get our mind, keep our mind away from, okay? There are those things out there that we definitely don't want to be conformed to. As in the seasoned saints, we have learned not to have our lives governed by, well, the thought patterns and dictates of this evil world system that we're living in. Can you think of some of the evil world, the evil things right now that is so prevalent in our times that, well, one of them is what's taking place where right now in the public education system, where President Trump wants to abolish the Department of Education, and he wants to get rid of certain things that's not only in our schools and universities, but had also gone over into a lot of your corporate businesses. Can you think of what that is?
I mean, there's a lot of it going on.
How about DEI?
Sure.
Okay. And the whole woke thing.
Absolutely.
And so here, and some of those things that we seasoned saints know and that it, that are, we're told, well, you know, kind of, you know, just don't argue with those people. Just kind of sit back and, you know, just, you know how they are. That's not what we're supposed to do, okay? We're supposed to refute, rebuke, and reprove, right? Then exhort people to repent when we hear this foolishness being spewed out there, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. And I was going to say, I think that's another one of the biggest things in today's day and age is the apostate, heresy of the churches that they call themselves churches when they're not. They're twisting and warping God's word to fit their own messages.
Exactly that. That's exactly what they're doing. Going back to over there, I want to go back to verse 3. For I say, though, the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt every man the measure of faith. And so why, in what way should we not think of ourselves so highly, do you think?
Well, there's pastors and preachers who call themselves that role, I should say anyway, that seem to put themselves on the pedestal of idols or gods themselves.
Okay, now we just had an extreme, right now, in fact, it's still going on, example of something that is very, very wrong within the church, okay? And that is making idols out of people. And this situation here, you know, with Charlie Kirk would be a perfect example of where they've taken this thing past where it should go, past where, in other words, we saw that kind of a similar thing. Do you remember when President Trump got shot? I did a program, a little bit of that, where here I was watching these women and a couple of these younger women who they just lost it. They started screaming profanities because they were so angry that he got shot, okay? And I mean, the words come out of them they never expected to have that. But what happened is, and we warned about this. You might remember me warning a little bit about this. You know, on one hand, you had the Trump derangement syndrome, and on the other hand, you had people placing him upon a pedestal, which he himself came out and he said, no, I'm not the most popular man. No, Jesus Christ is, you know, Trump knowing that, you know, what happened in the Bible when men allowed themselves to be worshipped, it usually didn't end well for them, right? And what happened at on Mars Hills when they declared, the Greeks declared the Apostle Paul and Barnabas to be gods? Are you there? Oh, you're on the phone. Okay. All right. Anyhow, here, folks, let me just say what happened is Paul, you know, he had departed, you know, his garments because the fact of it is you couldn't allow that. And here, when, for example, you had the one king, the Magnificent, as he called himself, when he was out there standing on his birthday, and on his birthday, he was giving a speech, and he wore his suit of silver, a suit made for him out of silver, and the sun glowed upon it, and it was light bright, and he stood, and he waxed eloquently. And here, people were saying, and those that were trying to garner his favor for trade routes said, "You're not a man, you're a god, you're a god." And he should have rent his garment right then, but he didn't. He didn't. What did he? And what happened? He was eaten alive by worms right on the spot. You had another situation where, remember, Nebuchadnezzar stood out on his balcony, and he held his arms out, and he looked over, and he said, "All of this have I built." Well, God was listening to that. You know, God listens to a lot of this stuff, right? And God says, "Really?" Okay. And he let Nebuchadnezzar know, no, he didn't build anything. He had what God allowed him to have, okay? And because of what he did, he learned a lot more about eating grass and growing feathers than he ever wanted to for 7 years, okay? God does not look kindly on people accepting worship, okay? Even if you don't mean to do that. Now, I said all that to say I remember... I remember watching a concert when I was young, when Elvis Presley was giving a concert, and in the front row, a bunch of women stood up, and they had this big banner all across the front, and it said, "Elvis is king." That scared Elvis. That scared him right there, because he knew what happened to those two people that would accept worship. And he stopped the concert. He said, "Take it down." And he yelled at him, "Take it down, take it down." He said, "Jesus is king. Jesus is king." And to make it very, very clear that they understood that. Okay. Or he said, "I'll stop the concert right here. I'll stop the concert. And so here now, what I was saying with... Charlie Kirk was a great man. In fact, did you know, Style, that, you know, Charlie was 31 when he was assassinated. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
There was another guy who was 31 when he was assassinated, but he was greater than Charlie. Did you know that?
I think I do.
Who do you think that would be?
It's often said that the Lord was 31, correct?
No, he was 33.
33, my bad.
Okay. You're getting close, though. I'll put it this way. He was cousins to the Lord. Greater, a man who, born of women, and this is just about all of them, okay? About all of them, men born of women, right? Except for Adam. But, no one greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist was 31, and he was of his time. He was a great, great man of his time, where thousands came from all over out in the wilderness to hear him preach. And he came, and he was assassinated at 31. And so, but what's happening, what did John the Baptist made it very, very clear that I must decrease and the Lord must increase, so give the glory to the Lord. And what I'm saying is, I think what's happening, and I think you're going to hear, a number of others, what I call seasoned pastors, coming out, because I know, in fact, I know you will, saying exactly what I'm saying. You know, there's bounds that you don't want to cross the bounds. And Charlie Kirk was a great guy, a good evangelist, but you don't want to deify him. And he would not want that. He would not want to be deified, okay? And so, here, we pick it up. So, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So, what do you think that's all about, as he has dealt to every man the measure of faith?
He's giving you, I don't have the correct terminology for it, but essentially he's giving you the potential to worship, to learn and grow in Christ.
And so, if a person has a certain amount of faith, he will do certain things, right?
Right.
If he let's say example of a person who is absolutely 110% sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ, and what happens if, say, you have a bunch of people come to you and say, deny Christ here or we're going to kill your family. What do you do?
Well, you don't deny Christ.
Absolutely. We had some of those songs that we sing with Esty, one of the ladies in some of those songs that we made. She was born in Israel. She came over here, and she was converted. She received Jesus as a Savior. Her whole family disowned her. In fact, and she was here living in poverty because they disowned her, until she was struggling because she had a number of health problems, So just to survive, and she came from a wealthy family. And her father offered her $1 million. I'll give you $1 million. I'll write the check if you'll just deny Jesus is the Messiah. And she didn't. She stayed and she lived in her poverty rather than deny Jesus. And so there are others, smaller measures of faith. Let's just say that you're sitting around and there's a bunch of people and they're mocking God and telling stupid jokes like the Democrats have been doing, okay, about prayer and how foolish it is to pray to God and so on. And what do? You don't just sit there and remain silent. You refute, rebuke, and reprove them, don't you?
That's right.
That's right. And so we're going to stop right there and we'll come back here tomorrow.
When the British armies came from across the bounding main to attack our native shores in their sailing ships of war to establish tyranny by the orders of a tyrant king, Paul Revere cried his alarms and the people took up arms and they fired up their guns and the greens of Lexington. Soon the battles would be won and the bells of liberty would ring. Those men who fought to keep us free were not afraid to die. They drew their strength and courage from his power upon high and cried this battle cry, no king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel. Tears in the last 100 years, we have fainted from the
fight for his liberty and life. We've been blinded by the lies, so we hardly know what's right from wrong. As the anti-Christian hordes and the global overlords now surround us, holy saints in the camp United States, just like Israel of old, we now find ourselves in Babylon. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high and bow to do his will on earth and rise up and defy the lie and cry this battle cry. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel. Time for all good men to seek his face on high and bow to do his will on earth and rise up and defy the lie and cry this battle cry. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but Yehoshua, the Holy One of Israel.
Alrighty, we are back. No king but King Jesus, folks, and that's reality right there. And well, Donald Trump's no king, but boy, I'm telling you, he's one heck of a president. Did you see him address the UN today?
I did not.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, he really went after him. He just really... gave him was very, very blunt speech. He really nailed the green energy scam boys. You know, what a scam that is this whole thing that you people are doing. But hear what happened in the UN building there as he was coming down, you know, the escalator. And they believe this was done on purpose, okay, that halfway down the escalator, it stopped. Just as him and his wife were getting on the escalator and Secret Service, it stopped. And they believe it, they did this on purpose just to try to humiliate him. And, so stopped kind of sudden too, you know, and him and his wife, they just walked in up there with a Secret Service man, but you could tell by his face, he was not a happy camper at all. And then, haven't seen your moment, those things where you read where they put up on both sides where you read your own notes.
Oh, the teleprompters?
Teleprompter, that's what I'm thinking of, yeah. Well, the teleprompters that they have for him, they weren't working. And Trump, boy, he addressed it. He really went after him. He said, you know, what I've been doing here. He said, I've been working and working. He said, we had seven wars on negotiated peace so that the people wouldn't kill each other. And he said, that's what the UN's supposed to do. And that's what the UN is here for. What do I get to the UN? Do I get any help from the UN in any of this? No, I don't get any help. What does the UN do? He said, I'll tell you what they do. I come here, here's what I've got from them. An escalator that breaks down, and teleprompters that don't work. This is what I get from the UN. Why should we give to the UN, right? And there was some smirking out there saying, well, you know, because certain people in certain countries cut the amount of money they give to the UN, they couldn't afford to maintenance on the escalator. That was the jokes that they were telling out there from the left. But he really nailed those clowns, about you know, all of this, the environmental wackos there in all of these countries that, you know, wanted to go solar panels and windmills, and how what a total waste of energy, or waste of money. And so, I mean, he let them have it. Well, he really did let them have it. And so,
well, and I think his point about the UN supposed to be a community to resolve issues, and meanwhile, no one's doing anything about the ever wars going on, says a lot about them.
Yeah, well, you know, what did they do about the UN, about all of the illegal aliens breaking in? You know, ISIS has just put out an order, a jihad order, in the UK to start killing British. ISIS just says, you know, just put this order out. It's time for you to start doing that, because they got so many now. They have so many of their camps in there, in Islam, the jihadist camps in the UK, and the UK cuddled them. They coddled them.
Well, you know, everyone loves to talk about how bad the United States is until it's time to ask us for help.
Yeah. And they all know how to do that, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
And now, guess who's back out there? She's got her book out today. And she's testing the waters. She says she hasn't made up her mind about a run for 28. But that's what she's doing. She's got her book out. She's running around out there seeing what kind of, if there's going to be some support. And then she wrote in her book, or she went and she talked to a number of governors and about getting their endorsements. And they refused. They said, well, we'd like to, but that one, that wicked Whitmer from Michigan, she refused. And, of course, Kamala stuttered a lot about endorsing that Mamdani, who's running for mayor of New York.
Yeah.
Kamala couldn't just come out and say it. In fact, you know what she did say about, she said what happened is that she wanted to have Buttigieg for her vice president, but she said, I couldn't do it, all right, because he was a, of course she used the word gay, but and I used the word sodomite, he was a sodomite, and I'm a black woman. I thought that's what the Democrats were all about.
Yeah, isn't that what they want?
Yeah, I mean, that's right. And she said that it would be too much on one ticket, right?
Too much diversity now.
I don't think it was so much that she's a black woman. First of all, she's really not a black woman, okay? But the other thing was, she is a dingbat, okay? And so... The Republicans are hoping that she will not disappoint them and that she will run again. Because, I mean, if you were J.D. Vance, wouldn't you like to debate her?
Oh, I mean, I think a wooden chair would have a good time debating her.
Yeah, I mean, she's not brilliant.
You don't really have to debate her. She kind of does that to herself.
Yeah, yeah, all you have to do is sit back and let her go, huh?
That's right.
And so, but now, just one thing she knows, and she says, and she knows, and that's a fact, and that is that Donald Trump is a dictator. He's a dictator. So, now, do you know what Pritzker, that so-called governor of Illinois, he says that he's figured it out. He knows what's happening. He is woke. He got hip. He said that Trump is putting National Guard troops in these states so that he can control the election. So Pritzker says that Trump wants to do election fraud. Now, wouldn't that be something, huh?
Yeah, I'm not really sure how that one works out.
You don't suppose maybe Trump thought maybe that using the National Guard in there, it might stop some election fraud. And, of course, we know who, when it comes to election fraud, who commits 99.9% of it, the Democrats.
Well, and again, it's typical left-wing logic of they're going to say that the National Guard is here to commit election fraud, but they're also going to tell you that everybody here hates that the National Guard is here and they hate Donald Trump. So if that's the case, if Trump deploys the National Guard to your state, wouldn't you think you would vote against Trump if that were the case? It all falls apart when you take two steps of logical thought.
When people are begging, please send them here, please send them here, right? And so, you know, like in D.C., the people that lived there in D.C. that actually lived there saying, please send the National Guard in. We like the safety. We like to be able to go out at night, okay?
And again, I've said it before. I agree with people that are saying we don't want the National Guard here because ideally you shouldn't need the National Guard there. That's why you have local law enforcement. But if your local politicians and local law enforcement are letting innocent families get hurt and killed and they're not doing their job with criminals, then yeah, further action needs to take place when people are sitting here in the streets dying and wondering why the police and the local government aren't doing anything.
Now, Kamala said that the election with her and Trump, that was the closest election in history.
That's just not how I remember it.
Yeah, it's got some different history than we have, huh?
Must be. I need to look at these new history books they're putting out.
Let me see. Out of the swing states, Kamala won 7 swing states. Kamala didn't win any, did she?
Yeah, I don't know what map she's looking at.
Well, I think she only won, what, 1 or 2 states out of the whole. Anyhow, but do you know what she did? As soon as she was told, you know, by her advisors, it don't look good on election night. It don't look good for us, Kamala. It don't look like we're going to win. And do you know what Kamala said?
What's that?
She said, oh, my God, what will happen to our country? What will happen to our country? That's what she said. Well, I thought, oh, my gosh, yeah, well, let me see. We closed the border. That happened to the country. Okay, we're increasing with the tariffs. That's happening. We're getting the left, those that the hate groups, yeah, Antifa has been declared a terrorist organization now, so they're going to be put under wraps. I think a whole good things have happened to our country. What do you think?
I mean, I really don't want to think about how it would be under Kamala Harris.
Yeah. Crime was cut down. You deported, I guess right now it's over 1.5 million have left voluntarily, but they've deported 400,000 criminals. So the amount of crime and murders has been reduced greatly, okay? So that's kind of some of the stuff that's happened in our country, huh? But, you know, here, when I think of was some of these Democrats, okay, especially Adam Schiff, and I get a picture of my, you know, of course, he's got those eyes. Did you ever notice something about certain people like Adam Schiff and AOC and what's his name? The Speaker of the House, Minority Leader. That their eyes always bulge. Their eyes are always bulging out. Did you ever notice that?
Yeah, I mean, well, they're also always screaming, so that doesn't help.
Yeah. But anyhow, there is a flesh-eating worm. And it's a parasite. And guess where it's been found?
Where's that?
And a lot of the cattle, the beef that's been coming into from Mexico has got this flesh, and they brought it in here. And this thing, it works very quickly. And boy, you don't want to end up ingesting one of those things because it eats you from inside. And so, you didn't know that, did you?
I had remembered hearing something about, worms being found within beef, but I couldn't remember where exactly it was first reported at.
Hmm. Well, did you know that Jimmy Kimmel's back on TV again?
Unfortunately so.
Hmm. Why do you think he's back on the air?
We talked about this, I think, the day that everything happened, he got kicked off. But people want to sit here and clamor and talk about, oh, everyone's clamoring about freedom of speech, and then they kicked Jimmy Kimmel off. That's not freedom of speech. It's still freedom of speech. He was able to say what he wants without prosecution. And I'm not talking about public prosecution. I'm talking about legal persecution. He was still able to say whatever he wants, and he has that legal right to do so. But you also have consequences for your actions. Freedom of speech doesn't mean there's no consequences for your actions. You can say whatever you want, whenever you want, to an extent, but you still have to face the consequences of those actions. The reason he was taken off of air wasn't because of, oh, it was so controversial, or it was good, or it was bad. It was because of the
current... lied.
Well, he lied, but it was because of the current state of everything that's going on. A man lost his life less than 3 weeks ago, and here we are making light of the party and putting blame and putting out these lies. They didn't take it off because of what he said. They took it off because sponsorships are going to look at that, and the sponsors have backed this up since then and said, oh, we're going to lose money if this man is on public media saying this, and then we put a show on with him on it and allow him to host it. When you have backlash from sponsors, they pull out. Now that he's back on, a lot of those sponsors aren't returning.
How about 78 of those stations have not refused to take him back?
Good.
78 stations.
Good.
Well, there's something that he's required to do before they would even consider taking him back. Just one thing. And that would be that they want him to admit that he lied. That he lied and apologize. Do you think he's going to do that?
I honestly wouldn't care if he did. I think that's a dumb reason to give him his job back. You face the consequence for your action. If they turn around and say, oh, well, he said sorry, he can go back on air and keep doing the things he was doing now, what does that mean? What does it matter? What does anything matter? The guy has been unfunny for the past 15 years. He should have lost his job for being unfunny for the past 15 years when your job is being a comedian. That's the reason he should have been fired. He went and did something stupid. He lost his job because of it, because he cost sponsorship money to the network. No, in no light should he turn around and go, oh, welcome back, because you said sorry. Here, have 15 more years to keep doing it. Give it to the next person.
Well, you know what's some of these guys are, they're funny to certain types of people, right? And there's, like, I remember that one so-called female comedian, Schumer. In fact, she was related to Chuckie Schumer.
Comedian's and, a stretch.
Yeah, when she's supposed to be, and she was talking about her abortions. And, I mean, what sick jokes. I mean, very sick jokes this woman had. I mean, horror jokes. I mean, this woman was vulgar and very sick. But to certain people, Democrats, they laugh at that. They think it's funny. There's a very sick sense of humor, huh?
Well, I understand that aspect of it, but this was the perfect storm when it comes to Kimmel, too, because you look at his history for 2 seconds, all these people that are outraged he got fired, all these people on the left, they're outraged he got fired, now they're sitting here saying, oh, it's unjust, this man lost his job, what's he ever done other than speak his mind? He was on TV doing blackface 10 years ago. What is the moral compass of the left, then? If they want to pick and choose their battles like this, this is the perfect storm. Why would you ever support this man for doing either of those?
Well, you know, that brings you to Joe Biden. Joe Biden, he was very, very racist. He was in with the Ku Klux Klan guys. I remember very clearly when he was a young senator. He was very anti-black.
And we talked about this during the election, but it's crazy that in today's day and age of information being so readily available and video proof being a thing for the past 45, 50 years to an easy extent, and even prior to that, that people are still misinformed and that people are still not going back and looking at records. You mentioned Joe Biden. There's so many videos from meetings on the Senate floor where he is being very openly racist. He is being very openly racist and levying bills to further that. We talk about Kamala Harris and everything that she made up during this past election cycle, saying that, oh, you know, I would never say anything bad about the police and I never said anything bad about backing the blue. And then all it takes is a 2-minute Google search to prove that's not true. It's ridiculous the kind of narrative they'll push when open information is so readily available.
Hey, do you know what? I just thought of something that those people that support terrorist groups, okay, they're subject to a very, very strict enforcement of the law. The penalties on doing that are very steep. And now that Antifa has been declared, a terrorist organization, but I guess that wouldn't be retroactive because she raised a lot of money for Antifa to get him out of jail. They were bailing him out of jail. Now, Trump has put the word out. He wants George Soros. He wants him brought up on charges for supporting terrorists. And this is basically what he's committed as high treason. And he's gotten out after, really got after Pam Bondi. He said, look, I want to see some arrests. Now, you know what they're saying, don't you? They're saying that Comey is supposed to be arrested before the week's end. And so we'll find out. I mean, this guy, have you heard him at all lately, Comey?
Oh, yeah.
He's talking very strange, like a, I don't know, like a guy that's very strange. Anyhow, it seems that officials running a country fair in Ohio approve of Democrats using their event to shill for violence against President Donald Trump. Suggestively called for his destruction with 8647 buttons and other hate-filled merchandise that asked, is he dead yet? This is at a fair right here. The party, in fact, was booted from the family-friendly fair run in Ashland County for, according to a column in Red State, displaying hateful, bloodthirsty buttons and paraphernalia. And I thought this was going to start much earlier in the summertime, but it's here now. The report confirmed that local law enforcement even notified the Secret Service that Democrats promoted the 8647 message, where 86 is understood to mean to kill or destroy, while President Trump is the 47th president. The report noted the depravity, of course, comes on the heels of the assassination of conservative leader Charles Kirk on September 10th. Luckily, decent people noticed that the fair organizers kicked these creeps out, and the people demanded that they kick these creeps the heck out of there. The Ashland County Fair posted on Facebook around 8 p.m. on Thursday that it had been made aware of offensive buttons in the Democratic booth. The report said the fair stated, we are a family-friendly fair and do not condone this from any vendor merchant. We apologize for those who saw the display. The Democrats, our sick party, has been asked to pack their booth up for this year so they not to be here for the remainder of the week. So here I know that some years ago, Planned Predators, we always had a booth in the Geauga County Fair. Do you know the Geauga County Fair is the oldest fair in Ohio?
I do.
Yeah, and did you know that we've been there since the 70s with our pro-life booth? Well, one year, Planned Predators came in. They brought their booth in. And when I found out about it, I went up and I stood in front of that booth with literature describing what Planned Parenthood's really all about, who they are. Here, Planned Predators and their relationship with the Ku Klux Klan and all of that. And they had this woman working in that booth, and she was very upset. She didn't even realize what Planned Parenthood was all about. And so I just stood there handing it out, and I said, here, you better read this. And anyhow, finally, after a little while, she just started crying, and she ran out of there. And I just give her the truth. And guess what? They've never come back since then. And that's good, huh? Because that's what we're supposed to do, isn't it? Okay. Demonic old gods left to see us as they see it as a sacred duty to sniff out opponents in America. America now has its own jihadis, those who advocate for the for and are willing to carry out the destructions of those who disagree with their agenda. But it has nothing to do with the common understanding of jihadists, and those who kill wantonly for the sake of Islam and their God Allah. That's according to a stunning commentary from Drew White, a former U.S. Senate staff member, policy advisor to multiple organizations, who wrote at The Federalist about the assassination of Charlie Kirk, co-founder of the Turning Point USA, which advocated for civil dialogue, free speech, and even spiritual revival in America. Okay, so a lot of people are saying they believe we're having a revival. What do you think?
I think we are.
We're seeing it in places, aren't we? We've been talking about that, and not just in America, but we're seeing that in a number of countries, and that especially Iran.
Yeah.
That was amazing, okay? That was amazing what was taking place in Iran. And so here, very quick. How much time do I have for? We're coming up to the break.
Coming
right?
up on a minute.
Okay. Watch. Democrats in Congress raise concerns about the FBI's physical fitness test. They don't like it here, the physical fitness test that the FBI now is having its agents pass, because they say that the test is physical fitness test discriminates against women, because women don't have to be physically fit. What do you think?
I just don't think that's true.
Democratic lawmakers expressing concern over the FBI's new physical fitness standards, specifically calling attention to the physical differences between men and women. Now, they finally notice. Wait a minute. All of this time, they've been trying to tell us there is no difference, right? And now they've noticed that there's a difference? Wait a minute. You mean to tell me then the Democrats now know what a woman is, right? They have to know what a woman is now. Finally, all this time. We'll be back right after this with more. Right? He's counting, folks. He's counting. 4, 3, 2, 1. He learned that at an early age.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Stop settling for weak sound. It's time to level up your game and bring the boom. Hit the town with the ultra-durable LG X Boom portable speaker and enjoy vibrant sound wherever you go. Elevate your listening experience to new heights, because let's be real, your music deserves it. The future of sound is now with LG X Boom. And for a limited time, save 25% at LG.com with code FALL25. Bring the boom. X Boom.